All right, Joshua, chapter 2. Put yourself in the story. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab. Of all the places to go, they go to a harlot's house, lodge there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in here tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that came to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they become to search out all the country. There's a couple of things that I want to point out here from a spiritual perspective. All right. Why does Joshua, you think, send out the spies?
See what's in the land.
Wants to see what's in the land. It's a scouting report. All right. Wants to see what's in the land. Does he already know that God has given them the land, even Jericho? Let me answer that for you. I've seen the head nods and kingdom seeking. Yes, he already knows that they've given it to him. So why send out the spies? If he already knows God's word and his promise.
Get evidence.
He wants more evidence. He wants confirmation. All right. Application for today. Is it good to get a second opinion? Is it good to get confirmation? Amen. All right. So always, I had a health issue a few years ago, and somebody told me that I was going to be stuck in this condition for the rest of my life. And I'm like, hey, I'm not going out like that. Guess what I did? I got a second opinion, went to another doctor, and now I'm fixed. Amen. Right. Get a second opinion and confirmation. All right. Now,
Juanita's crying.
Juanita need to get a second opinion, maybe a third opinion. All right, okay. All right. Now, here's some things in my notes that I want you to be aware of. Everybody doesn't need to know your business. I got like four amens in the head now from Kingdom Seeker on that one. All right. Why does everybody not need to know your business?
Because everybody don't believe or have faith.
Everybody doesn't believe, everybody doesn't have faith, and everybody does not want you to... Wait a minute now.
Yes.
What are God's people trying to do? They're trying to get to God's best. There are other people who are trying to keep them from what God has for them. Alright? So you don't need to tell everybody everything that's going on in your situation.
Amen.
All right, so put yourself in the story. What does God want for us? God wants us to get good grades. God wants us to be successful. God wants us to have something. God wants us to do kingdom work or whatever. You can't share everything with everybody. Can you share everything with church folk?
No.
You can't even share everything with church folk. Because church folk will get jealous, and then they will try to stop you from what God has for you to do. Everybody don't need to know your business. All right. Put yourself in the story. Okay, here's the other thing. Don't be surprised if the enemy tries to stop you from experiencing and receiving what God has promised. I got that in my notes. I'm going to highlight that. Where are they going? They are trying to get to God's best, the promised land. Are they facing opposition along the way? Yes. Are they going to have to fight for this thing? Yes. As a church, as a Bible study class, as individuals, is there a fight that we're going to have to... There's a fight along the way. Don't be surprised. Why is the enemy trying to stop him in the first place?
Because.
Well, okay, somebody said because that's his job. Amen. That's his job. That's the enemy's job, is to try to stop you. The enemy sees that if, oh my goodness, thank you, Holy Spirit. If the children of Israel get to where God wants them to be, that's going to be a problem for the enemy. And the enemy does not want them to get where God wants them to be, because that's going to be a problem. So he's got to fight against that. Amen?
Because he wants to be God.
Because he wants you serving him, and he hates God. All right? So we got to be careful with that and understand. So should we be surprised when we face opposition? No. Because if we're doing the right thing and we face opposition, we just know, oh, you know what? Something's coming against me today. Either I need to get closer to God, or the enemy's trying to keep me from what God... I'm on the right track. Somebody's trying to keep me from what God has for me. Let me say that one more time. God has something for everybody. Does God have something for the children of Israel? Yes, he does. Is it his best? Yes, it is. Is somebody trying to keep them from getting there? Absolutely. Put yourself in the story. The enemy's trying to keep you from what God has for you. Kick that rascal to the curb. Hold on. All right? So here we go. All right. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, I'm in verse 4, there came men unto me. Now, here's her answer back to the, you know, the people who are trying to catch these spies. There came men unto me, but I don't know where they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out, and I don't know where they went. But if you pursue after them quickly, you might catch them. But instead, she sent them out one way, but in verse 6 it says, but she brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them in the stacks of flax, which she laid in order upon the roof. So it's a harvest time, so she laid them on top of the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan to the fords, and as soon as they pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So let me just kind of put this, because I like studying from the King James, let me kind of put this in perspective. They came looking for the spies. The spies are doing a work for who? The Lord. In fact, the spies are supposed to go and see something and experience something and bring that word back to Joshua, to the people, to do what? To encourage them. To give them a report. To taste and see that the... To get confirmation, to taste and see that the Lord is good. So he sends spies over to just confirm what God says he's going to do for us. It's good. Let's put it this way. It's worth it. It's worth the struggle. It's worth the battle. I don't know. Let me think about it. I got to be careful with this one. Who's got kids? Who's going to have some kids? Do you got to go through some stuff to get some kids? You got to go through. You got to go. All the women nodding their heads over here. Yeah, you got to go through some stuff with kids. Can you get discouraged in the middle of this thing? Can you be like, man, I don't know if this is worth it or not. There's a whole lot of discomfort up in here. But wait a minute. At the end of that thing, you see what that looks like. You see what that's going to turn into. Is it worth it? Is it worth the struggle? Is it worth it? Okay. So it's the same thing here. You need to be able to understand the vision of what God has for you in his life, because is it going to be worth the struggle? Oh yeah. Is it worth the degree? Oh yeah. Is it worth what? Is it worth me getting the job? It's worth it. So he sends the spies in to go back and tell them, oh, it's worth it, and to encourage them. Here's what Rahab does. Rahab, yes sir, got a question in the back. Before the spies were sent over. All right. Right. They were commissioned to spy out the land. Right. Well, it's two things. One, and it doesn't say it here, so when we get a little bit further, you're going to see it. He tells them to go out and look at the land. Search it out, even Jericho. Now, the Bible does not actually say what they're supposed to report, but let's figure it out. If you're going to send somebody over to look at something, what do you want them to bring back? A report on whether, one, is it worth it? Uh-huh. Is it worth it? And two, can I have it? You know what? I like that question. Hold on just a minute. Anybody know anything about the promises of God? Is it worth it? See, here's the thing, and I like this, because the Whiners have a song out, and it says, I've seen what you've done for others, and I want you to do it for me. So the question is not so much, hey, can God do it? Because we know God can do the impossible. I got head nods over here in Kingdom Seeker. I know everybody out there. Everybody knows that God can do it. And everybody knows that God is good. And everybody knows that God is our Father. He wants to give us good things. The question is, not just is God good, but does he want to do it for us? And that's where the spies are coming out there. So you're right, Elder. That's where the spies are coming out. Not only are they going to say, hey, is it worth it? Will he do it for me? I've seen you work in others, and I want you to work in me. Because sometimes, come on now, we've been doing this thing for a while. Sometimes we know that God will work for others, and we see what he's done for others, but we just don't think because of our situation that he's going to do it for us. You got to look at Rahab. Rahab is a harlot. Is anybody celebrating the fact that she's a harlot? No. She is like the last person you want to roll up in your church. Right? And she's probably one of those folks that is thinking, I know I'm not living my life right. I know I'm not doing right. But I heard what God is doing for others. I wonder, will he do it for me? And the spies are going on this mission going, I know what God said, but will he really do what he said? Does it really apply to me? So the spies are trying to bring that word back to the people and to Joshua to encourage them. Yeah, what God said is right, it's correct, it's good, it's worth the battle, it's worth going through, and I think we can take it. So what she's doing here is she's protecting that word and that ministry of the spies. She's protecting them, all right? And she's sending the enemy out in the opposite direction. So the enemy is going and chasing the wrong thing. Now, you'll go through a lot of commentaries, and I say it in my notes. is it okay to lie? No, it is not okay to lie. Does she make it in the Hall of Fame because she lied? No, she made it to the Hall of Fame because she hid them. Now, she ain't been saved enough, long enough, to know that lying is not good. All right? I'm not going to beat her up for the lie. I'm going to celebrate her for hiding the spies. All right? You don't have to do everything perfect as a believer. You just need to make sure that you're doing it for the right motives. There's the wrong way and the right way to do things. So I'm not going to get into the whole thing on, you know, did she lie? Was it wrong for her to lie? I'm going to put it like this. If I was one of the spies and they were after me, baby, if you got a lie to save my butt, go ahead. I'll give you a pass. All right, let's keep going. But don't get it twisted that lying is okay. That's all that she knew to do based upon her faith.
Hey, Chuck.
To save me. Yes, ma'am.
I remember Corrie Ten Boom. She was still in the prison camp. They called on her to testify. And if she had told the truth, a lot of people would have died.
Yeah.
And she prayed and prayed and just depended on the let God speak when she opened her mouth. And she did lie like Rahab.
Absolutely, yeah. So
Esther lied too.
Esther. Well, yeah. So it doesn't make lying. Don't get it twisted. She is not in the Hall of Fame for lying. She's in the Hall of Fame for exercising her faith. Now let's go a little bit deeper.
All the women, Chuck.
Pardon me.
It's all the women.
Yeah, I hear you, Susan. All right. Look at what Rahab did. She assisted in the ministry. She protected it and she supported it. That got her in the Hall of Fame. See, you got to put this thing in today's perspective. You got to work the word. You got to put yourself in the story. Rahab hid the spies, but she did more than hid the spies. She protected the message. She protected the mission. She protected the ministry. She helped the people of God get God's best. Oh my goodness. How today One, let me ask a question. Is this applicable for us today? And what does it look like today? I'll answer that question for you. This is applicable for today. And not just because it's in the Bible, it's applicable today. Now, how do we play the role of Rahab today? And should we? I got a head nod from the littlest one in here. Yeah, she nodded her head. Yeah, we should be doing this. Why should we be doing this? Because that's how our butts get to heaven. All right? Part of the victory and part of getting God's best is protecting the ministry. How does she protect the ministry? How can we protect the ministry today? How can we be like Rahab today?
We can believe who God is and believe how he works.
Absolutely. How else can we help?
Troops and learning of faith.
You can also help by supporting the ministry and not coming against the ministry.
Yes.
By supporting the people of God and not coming against the people of God. We got to understand, everybody looks at Joshua and the children of Israel. There's somebody named Rahab who supported the ministry. Oh, wait a minute. What does it mean to support the ministry? Whatever the ministry is doing, whatever's up. In this case, it's protecting the word. It is pushing that word. It is making sure that the people get the word because they need that word in order to be encouraged to go after God's best. Oh, my goodness. If this ain't a message for churches, for us as individuals. Yes, ma'am.
God anoints his people, but he
can't make them perfect.
Nope.
No.
But we're supposed to strive for perfection because we got a perfect God. And so I don't want to see. Here's one of the big things in this ministry that you got in this story that you got to see. There are levels of development. And a lot of Christians get saved, all right, but they don't go any further. And we should be going further into perfection. You got to do more. This is one of the things I like about Kingdom Seekers. It's one of the things I like about Von Forrest. We don't just have church. Because having church is just one level. But when you take that worship and that praise and you take it to the next level, then you start doing something for other people that facilitates the gospel getting into their lives, and then they get saved, and then all of a sudden you're bearing fruit. So there's another level there. All right. So here we go. She sacrificed her comfort and safety to put the ministry and purpose ahead of herself. Oh, I just said something. Here's how you can be a good Rahab. What you want is not primary. The word and the ministry becomes more important than your desires and aspirations.
Amen.
She put her comfort, she put what she wanted, all right, on hold, and she put herself at risk. Oh, I just said something. She put herself at risk. She humbled herself, put herself at risk for the sake of this word getting to the folk. All right. And I got this other note. When you put ministry ahead of others and the plan of God ahead of you, you can expect favor to come your way. And when we see this story, we're going to see that Rahab is going to get a super blessing because of this. All right. Because she humbles herself first, and she goes through this process. She goes through these steps. All right, let's keep going. Verse 8. And before they were laid down, before they could get settled, she came up to them, up to the roof. And she said unto the man, I know, oh, wait a minute, you got to take this testimony. I know that the Lord hath given you the land. I got my notes here, but I'm going to go off my notes a little bit. I know that the Lord has given you the land. Wait a minute. She ain't been saved but that long, and she knows that the Lord has given them the land. Did they already have the land? No. But she's speaking faith, saying, I know that the Lord has already given you this land, and that your terror is falling upon us. Wait a minute. Question. How did she know that the Lord had already given them the land? Don't answer that yet. Let's read a little bit further. And all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Basically, what she's saying is, ooh, I know God has given you this. And everybody's scared of y'all coming up in here. All right? So, do you think the spies need to hear this?
Yeah.
Do you think this encourages the spies in their ministry?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it is not coming from a super saint. It's coming from somebody outside. It's coming from somebody. Let me tell you what really encouraged me today at Kingdom Seeker. Von Forrest, y'all can't see it, but there's a little girl here. I'm telling you, I'm looking at her here. She's taking notes. She's doing something. I asked a question. She got some braids up in the front here. Them braids just moving. She nodded her head. She act like she know what I'm talking about. Now, she ain't been on the earth this long. She probably don't know what we know. She darn sure ain't been through what we've been through. But she still has a testimony and a good grace. She's supporting the ministry. Oh, my goodness. I'm so encouraged to preach and teach that I don't know what to do, because the littlest thing in here, all right, has done something to protect the enemy from discouraging anybody, from discouraging me or whatever. I'm encouraged. She's supporting the ministry. This girl being Rahab up in here, minus the harlot. And sometimes it's the littlest folk, all right? And don't be discouraged when folk who you expect to be with you ain't with you, because God might be moving. And don't discount the ministry of what other folk got. You ain't got to be in this thing that long in order for God to use you. You just got to be humble. All right, so let me get, okay, so how does she know all this? Oh, this is going to bless somebody. Elder, this is going to bless somebody. Look at verse 10. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. And when you came out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of that tough place, and what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, and Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. They heard about it. They said, well, you know what? They came out of Egypt and God did some great things, dried up the water for them. But you know what? This next thing will take them out. And when those kings didn't take y'all out, look at verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, woo, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You would think some powerful, you'd think David or somebody like that would have written this. She wrote this. She said this. How does she know? Now you can answer the question. How does she know that God is in heaven above and in the earth beneath? How does she know that their God is God? Oh, this is going to bless somebody.
She just heard and believed.
Okay, say that again.
She heard.
God
done, and she believed.
What is that called?
Faith.
Well, not yet. But it is, but not yet. Let's make sure we... No. Faith is a good answer. But we got to take this thing in sequence, because people take things out of order. And faith comes by
hearing
the word of God. But before they can hear the word, it's got to be preached. But something's got to happen for them to get that word. What happened for her to hear the word? Look at verse 10 again. Pardon me, Sandra? What? I can't hear you. Say it again.
I said someone came and told them.
Told them what?
We have to be seeking.
What is that called? Begins with a T. Testimony. Question. How do you get a testimony?
From her experience.
From experience.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be tested.
Trials.
And it comes, trials, tests, and it comes from experience. Experience of what?
Encountering God.
Encountering God. Encountering God doing what?
Every trial.
Bringing you out.
Yeah, of Egypt.
Wait. So in Exodus chapter 14, when they come out of Egypt, the children of Israel, and they're coming out of Egypt, and God has them on a high, slapping high five, Holy Ghost time. Oh, hey, high five, as they're going out with a high hand. He takes them out into the wilderness, and he says, Instead of going straight through, I want you to do a U-turn, turn left, and camp right here. All right, wait a minute. That looks like a trap. But he explains to them, because I want you to go through something. I want you to camp here, because when the enemy sees you, he will come after you, and then I will get glory over what you're getting ready to go through. Are y'all church folk in two different places trying to tell me that what God allows us to go through, the tough times that we go through, when he pulls us through those tough times, it's not just about us, it's about giving him glory? And when somebody hears that what we got through and how he brought us through, that they will believe in the living God and know that he is God? I'm about to praise God for everything that I'm going through.
Yes.
Because he's going to use that for his glory, and somebody that's lost will be encouraged and be saved.
And for our good, Chuck.
And it's for our good. Yeah, we get benefit out of this.
Yep.
I'm almost about to say thank you, Lord, for all the stuff I'm going through. All right. And she keeps going. Now, therefore, I pray you. So, wait. Before I go, let me just say this. So when bad stuff used to happen to me, when challenges and trials used to happen to me, I'd be like, Lord, why me?
Yeah. Why not?
Why not somebody else? Why me? Why I got to go through this? You know what I do now? I'm like, Lord, either you trying to get my attention so I can get back in right standing with you because I've been disobedient, maybe I'm missing something, or praise God, I'm going through something. So either the enemy must see something good that's trying to stop it, or you about to bless somebody through my testimony. So let's bring it on. We don't want to go through stuff. Wait a minute. Let me just talk to the ladies because I can't relate. If you want to have a child, you don't want to have to go through what you got to go through. But after you go through it, you say it's worth it?
Yep.
And you can praise God for what you went through?
Yep.
And you can celebrate what you went through? Because what you got is greater than what you went through. Alright. Don't worry about whether they go crazy after you have them, but I'm just talking. That's another lesson. Amen. Alright. Verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. Now she's looking for a sign. And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that I have and deliver our lives from death. All right. Got a couple things in my notes. She knew three things. She knew that God had given them something in advance. She knew that God was making a change. And she knew that God was blessing his people and giving them a promise. All right. Such powerful faith.
She wanted in on that promise, too.
Yep. Hey, Al, do me a favor and turn to James chapter 2 in your funny Bible, verse 24 and 26. Because it talks about Rahab there. I got some questions here, application I already talked about because I'm not using my notes. I'm just kind of going off of what the Spirit is leading here. And I like 12, and I highlighted that. She understands God and the plan. Alright? To bring the people in. And she makes a request. Can you be kind to me? Can I get what you guys got? I got saved like that. I saw somebody, my life was messed up, and I saw somebody who was just as happy as can be and had peace. And I'm like, can I get what you got. How do I get that? And that's how I got saved. I saw what somebody else had. I saw what somebody else had, and I wanted it. And so I went ahead and said, how do you get that? And that's how I got saved. And so she's seeing God's people are getting ready to receive something. She's like, you know what? I want what y'all are getting ready to get.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, she asked for a token. Al, you got that scripture yet?
Oh, yeah. 225?
No. And I got to go back. It's 24 through 26, James chapter 2.
James 2.
Okay. All right. Read it.
James 2.
Why does it take so long for that guy to obey?
It's that funny Bible.
It's that funny Bible.
Okay. All right.
You leave Al alone.
I'm gonna leave Al alone.
That's my Bible.
All right. So what's it got, Al?
So you see, we are shown by the right of God by what He does. Not by faith alone. Rehab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and set them safely away from different roads. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works.
You got to do more than just understand. You have to be able to apply.
Action.
You got to put some action behind this word. Can God do the impossible?
Yes.
Well, you got to believe that, and you got to set yourself up. So I'm going to go through some steps that she takes. All right. These are steps that all of us take, and I'm a feast guy, so I always go through these steps. So what's the first step that you got to have in order to be able to receive the Lord?
Humble.
You got to be humble. You got to be humble. All right. Step one. Is Rahab humble? Yes. Why is she humble? Because she broke. It's step two. Does she repent? Yes, she repents.
Everything went good.
Al just had a new great grandbaby.
Oh, praise the Lord. Congratulations, Al, on the new grandbaby. And now the struggle is over. And a new struggle begins. There you go.
A new day.
A new day. It was worth it. It was worth it. All right. Step number two. Does she repent?
Yes.
How does she repent?
She turned from the life she's living and willing to go to a different direction.
She turned from the life that she's living. She's going in a different direction. Now, wait a minute. This is important. Did everybody in the city believe that God is God? That their God is God? Did everybody in the city believe or understand the word? Okay, here you go. I'm going to help you. Was everybody afraid? Everybody in the city was afraid, according to Rahab, right? Because they heard what God was doing. And they felt that God was working for. So did they know that God was at work? Let me do it that way. Everybody knew that God was at work, right? Amen. But everybody perished except for who? Because she believed. Which means she's the only person that repented and turned from trusting in the walls of Jericho and in their God, and she turned to trust in the living God. That's repentant. You know where that starts at? In your mind. When you change your mind about how you're going to live your today and your tomorrow, that's step two. Does she do that? Absolutely. Is she getting ready to bury the old life and trust in the new life? Absolutely. Step three.
Chuck.
Yes.
She also stood in the gap for her family.
She can't stand in the gap for her family just yet, though.
Okay.
Got to follow the steps. You got to follow the steps. Anybody ever stand in the gap for your family, but you didn't follow the steps? Because I went to go stand in the gap for somebody, I took my gun with me. Before I took the Holy Spirit with me. All right. I know, don't raise your eyes. The preacher ain't been saved all his life. All right, here we go. All right. So you want to make sure you follow the steps. You got to be humble. You got to have the need. One. Two, you got to change your mind about, I'm not going to do this the way that I used to do it. Three, does she put her hope in Christ? Does she put her hope in God? Yes. She says, I want to get what you got. My hope is in you. Everybody got to follow these steps. Every morning I wake up, I say, you know what? I'm going to put everything in God's hand. My hope is in you. And I highlight this in my notes. You cannot bypass these three steps and get God's best. You cannot. It won't last. All right. Verse 14, and we're going to get ready to wrap this up. Because Kenyon Seek is getting ready to have church in here. All right. And verse 14, and the men answered her, our life for your lives, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land. Oh, now they talk in faith. When the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. How are they able to speak faith when they don't have the land yet?
Because they believe that God has given it to them.
How?
Because
you mean, are you trying to tell me that the harlot has encouraged the believers? Woo! Which means you cannot discount your ministry. If a grain of mustard seed is a powerful thing, then your ministry and your experience of God and what you know and understand. And I love this. She didn't even experience it. She just heard the word and worked the word. You don't have to see it to believe it. It's the power of the word. All right. Oh, she speaks faith. Okay, let me keep reading. Verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. I want you, next week we'll cover this. I want you to understand, where was her house? On the wall. What wall are we talking about? The wall of Jericho. Do we know what happens to the wall? The wall comes down, but she is preserved. Oh, I just said something. When you say, don't be discouraged if your house is still on the wall. Oh, my goodness, I just said something there. Come on now. Come on, 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 come on.
Let us in.
Yeah. You might have to go to the same address, same location, same place, same neighborhood, but when you change on the inside, don't worry about it. Good gracious. Her house is still on the wall. She still got to go to the same house with the same crazy kids, the same crazy spouse, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. She still got to go to that same location. But she's changed, and she knows that she has the promises of God. Now you can stand in the gap, Sandra.
And she's going to put the crimson board out there to market.
Oh, wait a minute now. That goes to step number four. Wait a minute. I have to do that. All right. I'm going to stop it. Let me stop at verse 16. I'm going to give you this now. I might get an amen out of this. And she said to them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there for 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward you may go your way. Where did the enemy go looking for them? In the valley.
In the opposite way.
Well, what's the opposite way of a mountain? If she told them to go to the mountain, then the valley is where the enemy's looking for, right?
Right.
She told them to go to the mountain. Is the mountain higher than the valley?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, where should you go? To the valley where the enemy is? Y'all better get high. Some of us used to get high, all right? And why do we get high? Because it helped us escape our whatever. Anyway, I'm not trying to go there. I'm just saying this. You need to get on a spiritual high. When the enemy comes in and you start to get attacked, you need to hit the right rock. Amen. All right? Okay. You need to hit the right rock. You need to get that Christ rock. You need to get high. And how long did she say for them to stay there?
3 days.
3 days. So don't come off the high too soon.
Jesus is the highest high, she said. Don't come off that high too soon. What happens if you come off your high too soon and you start dealing with the enemy? It just ain't going to work out right. It's going to work out right. Stay high. Now, let me make sure, because I got some youngsters up in here. Let me make sure I let you know what stay high means. That means you humble yourself. That means you change your mind about what you wanted to do. You looked at me funny. I want to slap you. You change your mind about what you want to do. You put your hope in the Lord. I'm going to put my hope in the Lord. That keeps you high. When my hope is in the Lord, that keeps me high. It's 10:20. I'm going to get ready to close out. I'm going to ask somebody, a kingdom seeker, to pray out for us. I asked the elder to pray out for us. Here's the other thing. We're going to talk about this next week if Jesus tarries. That next step, that cord in the window, she asked for a token. She asked for a sign to let her know that this is going to be okay. She asked for a sign. Do we have a sign today to let us know that God's best is in front of us?
The Holy Spirit.
It's the Holy Spirit is your sign to let you know that God is with you. That's your token. All right. Any last comments or thoughts? Anybody get blessed out of this?
Yes. Wow. This was awesome.
Well, God bless you. You make me feel good. I might have to go through my steps and humble myself. All right. All right. All right. So I'm going to let...
I never noticed that Rahab was an intercessor. She was an intercessor for her family. And, you know, and then it comes to my mind just from past reading and commentaries and stuff. Her family were pagans. They had even probably put her in the business of prostitution. But she was still willing to intercede for them and get them to safety. And that's powerful to me. She was an intercessor.
I'm going to have to write that down. All right. So... God bless everybody. I may be at Vaughn Forest next week, but I may be a kingdom seeker because I want to make sure I got this established. I'm going to ask the elder in the back if I can see him. Is he back there, back there, back there? Somebody pray for us. Oh, he ain't ready yet. Wait a minute. I got somebody. Wait a minute. I'm not seeing you.
I like the purple chairs.
Oh, they got beautiful chairs here. Hold on.
Pretty.
Let me tell you something. You're getting ready to get...